Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. When we look at prayer as we did this morning, prayer is the most powerful tool that the Christian has at his disposal. But it is a tool that for many is not used as much as it should be. More often than not, it is covered with rust. When I go out into my storage shed at times, there are tools out there that I haven't used in many, many years. Only because the opportunity doesn't present itself as it used to. And when it comes time for maybe to grab one of my saws, I have to clean that rust off in order for it to work properly. We also need, as Christians, to clean the rust off of our prayer and make it an important tool that we use on a daily basis. You know, this morning we looked at some aspects of prayer that hopefully will make it more effective for you, and that it will have God's seal of approval. We talked this morning about sincerity and humility and fervency and persistency and watchfulness and thoughtfulness. And tonight we will finish the lesson. And it is my prayer that all of us will make a concerted effort to improve our prayer life and to spend more time talking to God than we have in the past. We need it. Our friends and family needs it. And our country and this world needs our prayers. Prayer is not a substitute for Christians' responsibility to serve God. It is, of course, a reinforcement of his worthy endeavors. This was John's emphasis in 1 John chapter 3. And starting in verse 21, John said, "Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God, that whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." You know, I marvel so much at the apostles and their letters and the things that they write and say, because I can see where they gather it from. But all of these men were simple men. They were not learned men. And there was no way for these men to even consider everything that was ever put to paper of God's commandments. But Solomon in Proverbs 15:29, he said, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." I believe with all my heart that we all sitting here today understand that when we are obedient to God, that he doesn't owe us an answer to our prayers, that we receive God's answers by grace. And this is very simple. We wouldn't think of going up to a total stranger and asking for an important favor. How could we even expect that stranger to even grant us a favor? Not knowing us. And yet people from all walks of life who will not obey God expect him to answer their prayers. But this is a problem that's not only with people outside of the body of Christ, but also with people inside the body of Christ. Some only have a relationship with God on Sunday. The other 6 days of the week are totally devoted to the things of the world. If we're looking to have our voice heard, we must be obedient to his commandments. Jesus in John 15 and verse 7, he said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." There has to be a point of self-denial within ourselves. There are times when we're going to have to put ourselves the back of the line. We are going to have to do these things. Jesus, Matthew 16:24, he says, "If any man should follow me, come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." We have to live for him, not for ourselves. His disciples, you and I, must deny everything in our lives that are contrary to the will of God. Now, there are going to be times where we will need to deny things that are right for the cause of Christ. Sometimes we may need to deny ourselves sleep because we've been up all night in prayer. Sometimes we may have to change our plans because of a last-minute important spiritual matter that has come up and needs to be taken care of. I know a lot of us are kind of put off when we've had plans set up and made all the details come to light, and then we've had to cancel or change at the last minute. For worldly things and worldly problems, that can be a hard pill to swallow. But when a brother or a sister in Christ has come under assault or is in dire straits, sometimes giving up those plans is allowing us and giving us the opportunity to deny ourselves for the cause of Christ. In 1 John chapter 5, in verses 14 and 15, John writes, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." You hear a lot of folks out there giving credit to God for some unbelievable things. For winning the lottery. For winning the race. Prayer cannot be forceful unless it brings the human will into union with God's will. We do not pray in order to change God's will, but to bring our will to God's. It is possible to pray a false doctrine, just as it is to teach one or to sing one. And we cannot pray for things that are contrary to the will and the teachings of God. We all understand, and most of us from a very young age, of what a role Christ plays in our lives, and also in the role that he plays in our prayer life. In John 14, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says here, "And whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." To ask a prayer in Jesus' name is not just limiting it to simply repeating his name. We are praying by his authority. We are the only ones who can communicate directly to God. No one else has that right. This is our power of eternity. This right is not levied to just preachers or elders or church leaders, but to every single one of us. We have been given this power. Can you imagine how busy church leaders would be if they were the only ones allowed to pray? We would have to have a 24-hour service here at the building because we're always in need of prayers. And I think it says a lot about God and about His Son that they have given us this power. There's a big difference between the world walking in the wilderness and us walking in the wilderness. The world is in the wilderness and they are constantly going around in a circle. They are lost. We walk in the wilderness every day when we set foot outside and we have to live our lives out in this world. But we're not lost because we have a guide. And we have a direct connection to God Himself. We're out in the world and we stumble and fall. We can pray. And we can be found again. We could not be continually washed in the blood of Christ if we did not have the ability to go to God and ask for forgiveness. Just as having the door open 24 hours a day for someone to pray for us, we would have to have the baptistry open 24 hours a day to get re-cleansed. God can deliver us in that wilderness. But if you don't have God, how would you be able to find any deliverance? God has never let man be totally powerless. We have the power, we just fail to exercise it. You know, people consider it a high honor to be able to speak to the President of the United States or to their senator or to some celebrity. How much more of an honor is it to be able to talk to God, the one who put these people in power? We also have the power to put ourselves in the position to commune with God. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and baptism for the remission of sins and living the faithful life puts us in that position to talk to God. I cannot emphasize enough just how important faith is in our prayer life. In Matthew chapter 21, we find that after Jesus entered into Jerusalem and after he cleansed the temple and that he healed the blind and the lame that came to him, he went out of the city and he went to Bethany. And when he returned, he was hungry. And on the way back, he saw a fig tree and he went over there to get some figs and saw that it had no fruit. So he cursed the tree and it withered. And his disciples marveled at this. And you can imagine, Vicki and I have killed many plants in our time. We had to kind of look at our thumbs to see what color they were, because they definitely weren't green. I remember a rubber tree that I got Vicki one year for Valentine's Day. Why I got the rubber tree, I don't know. But it was a nice tree. And it finally kicked. We go on vacation, come back, there'd be no leaves left on the tree because it didn't get watered. But it always come back time and again till we moved to Florida. And I don't know, I guess it didn't want to leave Michigan and got heartbroken. But never have I ever seen a tree die right there in front of me. And you can imagine what the disciples were thinking at this point of sitting there watching a fig tree wither. And if it was bearing fruit, then it was a mature tree. And they wondered how it withered so fast. In verse 21 of Matthew 21, Jesus said, "If you have faith and don't doubt, you shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also you shall say to this mountain, 'Be thou moved,' and cast into the sea, and it shall be done." This one verse, at least in my simple mind, shows the importance that Jesus places on faith. He finishes this discourse in verse 22. "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, and you shall receive." Any child that goes to his parents or her parents and says, "I am hungry," believes that mom and dad is going to feed them. As children of God, when we ask Him, shouldn't we have the same kind of faith that our children has in us? Shouldn't we have the same expectation that our petitions will be granted? In James chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7, he said, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like the wave of a sea, driven both the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." If we are tossed back and forth between the world and our Christian walk, why should we expect God to grant us anything? When we stay in regular contact with God, and we try with all of our might to obey, we must believe, truly believe, that God hears and answers prayers. Now, I know there, all of us here have probably asked God in prayer for things that did not happen the way we wanted them to. How God decides to answer prayers is up to God, not to us. We know what we would like. We know what we need. But God also knows when we're able to handle that need. God also knows if it is the best thing for us. You know, we pray for a loved one to get better, only to watch them continue to decline. We pray for our situation in life to improve, only to stay the same. But in all these things, God has answered in His way. It may be that we just need to learn more in life, to be able to endure more in life. If I had a dent in my car, Vicki will not allow me to go buy a dent puller and Bondo and paint and fix it myself. She'll say, "Call Joel." When we have problems in our life that we're not able to deal with or equipped to handle, we don't go to the library or to the bookstore and buy a book on how to take care of it. We go to the expert. We go to God. And in His way, He is going to provide us with opportunities and direction if we keep our eyes open, if we keep our heart open. Opportunities come at odd times in our life. Here, last month, our son went down to Georgia. His fiance's family, his mother, they had lost some friends in the tornadoes in the southern part of Georgia. And he went down there on the weekend to help some of the cleanup, not only with the family, but in that neighborhood. And it was horrendous. And his fiance had sent us a picture, a couple of pictures of him working. And the one picture was him carrying, was it a teddy bear? And it belonged to a child, the only one, the children that survived. Mom and dad were killed in the tornado. But here was an opportunity that God had presented that our future daughter-in-law will see in our son, how much he cares, truly cares for other people and what kind of heart he has. I don't say that to puff him up, to build him up for something, because he's had his life of mistakes too. But here was an opportunity God has presented for someone else to see the good in someone else. And we all have these opportunities placed before us. It's just a matter of reaching out and doing these things. For 3 weeks, I sat home with two dogs and two cats while Vicky helped Jackie get over, at least attempt to make a stab at trying to get over the loss of Mac. It was an opportunity that presented itself. And Vicky grabbed hold of that opportunity. Being married for 41 years, I never saw this side until last month. I know it was kind of an answer to Jackie's prayers, but it was also an answer to mine. We always ask how we can do things for others. God presents us those things. But if we're going to have a successful prayer life, we have to be very sincere with our prayers. We have to be very humble. We cannot leave out the fervency and persistence and the watchfulness and the thoughtfulness of the godly living, a life of self-denial in accordance to God's will, in the name of Jesus Christ and in faith. If you were to rate your prayer life on a scale of 1 to 10, where would it be today? I won't tell you where mine would be because I would be too embarrassed, because I know it's not as it should be. And I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we could all answer the same way. You know, tomorrow night we have our prayer meeting here. We talk a bit about prayer. We talk a bit about what is going on, and we pray. It is a great opportunity to be together, to learn and to pray, and for the fellowship. It's just another opportunity. Just another opportunity. But it can't take the place of our own personal prayers. We need to make sure that if we can put it in a visual way, that there are so many prayers going up that God has to take notes. I know He doesn't. But we can always try to overload the circuits. We can do it in Congress in Washington. We can do it in the State House. We can blow up the phone lines. Why don't we try to do that with God in our prayers on a daily basis? Pray when you awaken. Pray when you face the day. Pray when you eat. Pray when you go to bed. And pray in between. In those ways, we can keep ourselves on the right plane with God. If there's anyone here this evening who is in need of the prayers of the congregation, we want to give you that opportunity this evening. But we also want to extend the invitation for those who have made a decision to pick up your cross and follow Christ, to deny yourself and give your life to Him. You're here. You're faithful in your attendance. So all that's left is the repentance, the confession, and the baptism. If this is your desire this evening, if you want to be a child of God, if you want to open up that party line to God in prayer, we want to give you that opportunity this evening as together we stand and we sing.
The voice of the Savior says, come, the cross where He died is in sight. He now at the cross there is room. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the Spirit invite. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The voices of loved ones entreat. You know in your heart they are right. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the Spirit invite. Are you coming?
Sue's come forward. Sue's been doing a lot of things behind the scenes that a lot of folks don't really know. One of the things that she's been praying and working diligently on is Lorraine's son, Lee. Lee's a Christian, but not one that is faithful right now. And she has been spending a lot of time in prayer and also in word to try to convince him and to encourage him to come back to church, whether it's here or some other place, but to get back to church so that he can get closer to God. So far, he knows. He just hasn't done. And Sue's a little bit concerned that maybe she's not doing everything she can, but I think she is. But I think we need to continue to encourage Sue to keep doing the things she's doing, because sooner or later things will fall into place. Sue does a great job of getting Lorraine and Lee together, to the point that Lorraine keeps wanting to ask when she can go home. But Sue's the kind of friend I think that all of us would love to have and loves to have, because she thinks about us all. Will you bow with me, please? Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for our sister Sue and for the example that she sets, for her meekness and her kindness, and for the love that she has for everyone here. Lord, it's not easy to find someone who has no guile. Not in this world. But we have one in our sister Sue. She has kind words and thoughts and things to say about everyone that she meets and knows. And we're grateful for her example. She was walking on this earth, Lord, trying so very hard to follow in your son's footsteps. And she is doing the best that she can. And we want to commend her to you, Lord, as she is doing things that we all should be doing. But she's not the only one here, Lord, that does these things. There are others too. But we pray that you will continue to be with her, to allow her to understand and have this peace of mind that she's doing exactly what she should be doing, and that she is doing a commendable job. So we pray, Lord, that you will help us to encourage her as much as she is encouraging us. And we pray for Lee, we pray for Lorraine, and we pray, Lord, that the message will hit home to Lee, that we will either see him through these doors in this building at worship times with us, or one other of your churches, that he can resume a faithful Christian life. Lord, we pray that you will help us, as this is not a one-woman battle. This is all of our battle, and we should all be taking part in the encouragement. So help us, Lord, to do our part. Let us set aside the times of day to be able to reach out to one another, not only in prayer, but in communicating with each other, letting each other and letting us all know how much we love each other. That you strengthen us, Lord, in our resolve to do your will each and every day, and to walk the faithful walk. We thank you for Sue and for her time here and for her presence. And we pray that you will continue to bless her richly. We ask these things through your son, Jesus. Amen. Is there anyone, I don't believe, that did not have the opportunity to take the Lord's Supper? Very good. Tomorrow night, prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. If you will, at this time, if you'll stand, we'll be dismissed with prayer.
Pray that you would always watch over us and take care of us. that you guide God with this and forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I have a lot of problems. I know he doesn't always get the vehicles. I don't think you have like I used to. I have so much in the talk thing. This is so much I'm about to do.